Slam Idol, August the 10th, 2005, show number 39. Hello and welcome to the Slam Idol podcast, the poetry slam on your iPod or other MP3 player. My name is Simon, and you can find the Slam Idol website at slamidol.tripod.com. On today's show, I'm going to bring you another interview with one of the contestants in the current Slam Idol podcast competition. Today I have Chris Mooney Singh, the poet behind The Word Must Rock. Now, of course, Chris is one of the six contestants in the current contest. And if you haven't yet voted, then please go along to the Slam Idol website, slamidol.tripod.com. Now, near the top right-hand side, you'll see a button that marked Vote Here. If you press that button, it'll bring up an advert. Get rid of the advert, but, you know, that helps to pay for the Slam Idol contest. And once you've got rid of the advert, then you should see a page which enables you to vote for all six poems. You can give marks out of 10 to each poem. Now, if you haven't yet heard all of the poems, then probably the quickest thing for you to do would be to have a listen to show number 37, which was recorded on August the 2nd. Now, that show has excerpts from all six poems, so it really is worth checking out that show. So please make sure you vote on the Slam Idol website, and of course tell all your friends to vote as well. The more votes, the better the quality of the results. And once we've finished collecting all the votes, which will probably be the beginning of next week, then I'll add up all the votes and we'll find out who is the winner of Slam Idol Contest number 4. Right then, so how about I start playing you the interview with Chris Mooney Singh? And now it's my pleasure to welcome to the Slam Idol podcast, Chris Mooney Singh. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Simon. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Well, a little warm in Singapore, but it's, you know, it's that's the nature of the tropics.
Excellent. So tell me, Chris, how long have you been a poet?
Well, I wrote my first poem when I was about 13, and it was for a school competition when back in Australia, actually. That's where I'm from originally.
Oh, right.
It was in the time of the Vietnam War, and it was a sort of a war poem, and it kind of won its category of, and I won a book prize. I didn't write another poem till the next year.
Right.
Trying to enter, you know, trying to win the poem, the competition next year, but I didn't win that one. So I learned a long lesson. Basically, you should, you know, not try to win competitions.
So what sort of competition was that? Was it a written...
And just write.
Oh, right, yes.
It was a written competition. Basically, you know, what I'm getting at is that, like, Poetry Slam is a competitive art form, but really, you know, it's really more about expression, I feel.
Right.
It's not really important with the winning and losing.
Right, right. So do you write primarily for yourself then, rather than for a particular competition or other application?
Well, what I mean is that I do write for the public. I really like to hear my work being, you know, being received by audiences. I really enjoy that.
Mm.
And I run a Poetry Slam event.
Mm.
And I enjoy seeing people compete. But, you know, I don't think it's really important, you know, getting hung up about, you know, whether we win the podcast or not. I'm just enjoying actually hearing all the poems and the poets, you know, that you put up each week.
Oh, great. So you actually listen to the Slam Idol podcast as well. That's nice. Nice to know.
Yes, of course. Yeah, it's really nice to hear everybody's work, you know. And I just wanted to support everybody basically by throwing in my poem, you know, to the competition as well.
Excellent. So, how long have you been running poetry slams?
Since May 2003, I have been performing longer than that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that here in Singapore, we needed to bring poetry to a wider audience.
Mm-hmm.
basically poets here tend to read their work to selected audiences of other poets and, mm-hmm. you know, a few friends. But I felt that the poetry, you know, is a bit shortchanged doing that alone. We should try to reach wider and wider audiences.
Mm.
It was by chance that I was going to the States that year, and I took time out to research into Poetry Slam before starting my first slam here in Singapore. I met with Mark Smith. In fact, I stayed with him, the founder of Poetry Slam in Chicago, and he introduced me to all the slam masters in the States at one of the slam master meetings that they have twice a year. Mm. And I was really touched by the sense of community, the sense of poets really working together. Often poets are solitary creatures, but I felt that the Poetry Slam community is really unique. It's really something that is a movement that works together for the betterment of poetry.
Absolutely.
That's why I started things in Singapore with a strong energy. And in fact, we were able to bring Mark Smith to Singapore in September 2003 as part of the Writers Festival here.
Oh, right. Excellent. So was slam poetry a sort of an unknown thing in Singapore at the time?
Yes, it had not reached Asia, so to speak. Mm-hmm. We are apparently the first affiliated poetry slam in Asia, to my knowledge. I suppose are well placed because Singapore is quite a modern, urban, environment. It has all the infrastructure. It's good with technology, IT, all that.
Mm.
And it's a good place to launch poetry in the region from, I think.
Mm. And
we've even had our first poetry slam in Chinese. We've had our first poetry slam in the Indian Tamil language just recently. And we will be looking into other languages as well, in the near future.
Fantastic. So you're really doing some really very pioneering work out there. Excellent. Excellent. Which venues do you organize the slams in? If anybody, case any of the listeners happen to be in the Singapore area, they need to know where to go along to.
Sure. Our regular venue has been Singapore's leading nightclub here called Zouk Club. It's a well-known place.
Mm.
And we meet on the last Tuesday of each month. However, for the next 2 or 3 months, we'll be shifting our venue because of that club's renovations that are going on.
Right.
So they should stay tuned to our website, www.wordforward.org, to find out where we will be. But we also do slams regularly in schools and other institutions, libraries and so on, because we've also launched the National Youth Poetry Slam League, a competition aiming at bringing poetry slam to to younger people from secondary up to tertiary level.
Right, fantastic. So is that something you're able to make a living at, or do you have other activities to take care of your financial needs?
I'm the program director of Word Forward, which is a literary arts company, and that does poetry slam events, and we also run workshops. I earn a living from teaching. I very much enjoy teaching and sharing what knowledge I picked up along the way. So the writing of poetry and the performance of poetry, I suppose I'm lucky to be able to be a specialist in sharing with other people about these things.
Excellent. And I suppose, of course, teaching is also kind of a performance art in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as you get in front of a group, you are basically a performer again.
Mm-hmm.
And I do, quite a few performances professionally around. Being also a musician, I'm also, combining both, teaching and performance all the time, basically.
Mm. Yeah, and you mentioned, of course, the Zook Club, which when you sent me your poem, The Word Must Rock, you mentioned that it was actually recorded there on June the 28th, I think it was. Is that actually where that piece was recorded live?
It was, actually. That's a piece that I use regularly, in the program as a warm-up to the Poetry Slam, because it's a sort of a fun spin on, the microphone giving advice to the poets on how to get themselves, in gear for the slam, basically. And, a bit of a salute to the poets of the past as well.
Yeah,
so
I think
it's a regular thing that I do.
Yeah, it certainly does conjure up the image of you. I can just imagine you manipulating the microphone in time to the words that you're reciting. It's a real tongue twister as well. I imagine it really must get the energy level going when you start off an event with that piece.
Yeah, I mean, it's designed to get the energy up for people, and it's fun. It's a light piece, and it's not all that I do, but I just thought it was fun to send that one to you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for sending that in. The music that backs up that performance, is that something that you've produced yourself and sequenced up on a computer, or is that performed live, or how does that work?
I work together with other musicians and work together in studios, and we record the music. I play instruments, but I'm not a keyboard player, so I rely on the support of my keyboard friends and those who are knowledgeable about recording. And so, yes, we've created that music. In fact, my whole of my new CD, Living in the Land of the Durian Eaters, is all recorded with original music, which I've composed in collaboration with one or two other musicians.
Excellent. And where can people get hold of that CD?
They probably should just email me for a start, because it's just out. It's not really out internationally yet. So if they're interested, they can always write to chris@wordforward.org, and I can let them know. Yeah.
Excellent. And have you also released CDs of spoken poetry without music as well?
Actually, all my three CDs have had music. Because I'm also a musician, I do like working with music. I can perform, of course, and I do perform without music, but, it's fun, and I also find that music is a great, vehicle, particularly for new audiences. They can latch onto poetry very easily when you use music. But I really do take some care in trying to compose the music and sequence it at the right, so that the pauses come at the right time, and it's not just a general wash of background music. I try to actually compose it specifically for the parts of the poems.
Absolutely. No, that certainly comes out in when you listen to the Word Must Rock. The Word Must Rock, presumably that features on your latest CD, does it?
Actually, no. This one I have kept back because I may bring that out as a title of a CD in the future, who knows. But the other tracks really are relating very much to sort of Singapore culture. It's a kind of a zany accolade to Singapore and its kind of tropical, urban, environment, and, a lot of things like food are being celebrated because it's a big food place in Singapore. Mm. Many, many different things, but they're more specific to this region. But I think that they're quite accessible internationally.
Mm. And do you make the recordings, apart from being available on CD, do you have sample elements of those tracks available to download for anybody?
Not yet, but I'm working on it. I'm just putting up my own site soon, but it's not yet out, so people can still refer, either email me or they can check out the Word Forward website for new details. And one other thing that we are doing is starting an online literary magazine called Word Forward Online. That's going to carry feature articles from people from UK, USA, from Europe, from Australia, from locally here in Asia, with a special emphasis on spoken word as an art form, but not specifically. There'll be other writing. There'll be also new writing, poetry. There'll be downloads that people can check out as well. So they can keep an eye on our website. That's due to come out hopefully in the next week or two, our first maiden issue.
Excellent.
So that's really an attempt basically to, to try to bring together, wider communities around the world that are particularly interested in the spoken word as an art form.
What's your take on podcasting? Is this your first venture into podcasting?
Well, it is actually. So, I take off my turban to you, as they say. For the viewers who don't know, I'm a Sikh by choice, Australian by birth. So yes, I do wear a turban and sport a beard and all that. But yes, I'm new to podcasting. I think this is great because it's very much about music and also the music of language, the spoken word itself. So I think it's an ideal medium to be able to be talking with you like this. Is great fun.
Yes, it certainly is great fun for me as well. And I'm really keen to hear more of your work. So I certainly hope that you'll be that you'll consider sending in more poems in the future for future contests on the Slam Idol podcast. But also that maybe some of your students consider contributing to the Slam Idol podcast in the future. That would be very welcome as well.
Yeah, we'll try to get some of their work together, and send it in to you.
Fabulous. So, are you excited that the voting process has now started? Or you're not? You're not actually that competitive, are you? I suppose you mentioned earlier you're not really that competitive in your slam poetry.
Well, it's a game, actually, because I'm usually on the other end of it, running the poetry slam. Suddenly I'm here in a slam myself, so I think that it's good medicine for slam masters to also compete every now and again, just to make it real. So I'll be watching out to see who wins, and whoever wins, good luck to them. It's it's just nice to be able to to share work with other people who are obviously got unique experience and a knack for presenting it.
Have any of the other poems in the contest in on the Slam Idol podcast, any of the other poems particularly caught your ear?
Well, it's very interesting to hear, for example, clear American voices and then British voices, and coming from quite different cultures and ethnic sort of backgrounds. Like the passion of Dasha Kelly's poetry, the controlled anger of the poem Landmines poem.
Oh yes, yes.
I've forgotten
Al Brennan,
gentleman.
Al Brenner, sorry.
Yes, and to hear sometimes work with traditional rhyme schemes coming through, it's interesting to see that these older forms, are re-emerging through, modern contemporary spoken word as well. So there's a lot to enjoy, actually. So I haven't really kind of, rated everybody at all. I've just been sort of a little busy, actually, but I do, try to check out what's been happening, and I'll listen further.
Excellent. Well, I hope that you'll be hooked as a listener as well, as a competitor. It's been a great pleasure talking with you today, Chris. Thank you so much for joining me and having this chat on Skype. It really has been a great pleasure.
And thank you. And keep up the good work.
And
remember,
to you,
the word must rock.
Yes. And obviously, very good luck with the online magazine, the Word Forward Online. I wish you every luck with that in the future. And of course, good luck in the competition.
Well, thank you. And I'll send you details of Word Forward Online, so maybe you can even give it a plug on the show sometime.
People absolutely, completely open to plugging any messages or any plugs of any kind that you'd like to put. That you'd like me to play on the Slam Idol podcast, I'm more than happy to do so. Absolutely.
Sure, that'd be great. All the best to you, man. Bye-bye.
Right, so there you go. That's the interview I recorded with Chris Mooney-Singh. I hope you found that an interesting insight into Chris's work, including The Word Must Rock. It's interesting to find out the history behind that particular poem, and also interesting to hear about Chris's other work with introducing slam poetry to the Singapore scene and thewordforward.org. Of course, Chris's poem is one of six contestants in the current competition on the Slam Idol podcast, so if you haven't yet voted, please go along to the Slam Idol website, slamidol.tripod.com, and cast your votes. You'll also find my email addresses on that website, so if you're a poet and you've got a poem that you'd like to submit, please do get in touch. And if you're a listener and you've got something you'd like to share with us, then please do get in touch as well. I'm always very interested to hear about the listeners of the Slam Idol podcast, you know, where you're coming from, etc. Well, thank you very much for listening to the Slam Idol podcast. Please stay subscribed. My name is Simon. You can find the Slam Idol website at slamidol.tripod.com. I'll be back in a few days to announce the winner of the Slam Idol contest number 4.